I'm Michelle Franzen. Now that Nikki Haley has suspended her campaign, Donald Trump is now the presumptive Republican nominee. Exit polls from Super Tuesday, though, suggest some of Haley's voters are questioning who to support. ABC's Rachel Scott has more.
Many Nikki Haley supporters say they will not commit to supporting Donald Trump in November. Many of them say they will not even commit to supporting him, especially if he is convicted of a crime. We know the former president is facing 91 criminal charges, still pushing ahead here with this race and this likely matchup with President Biden in November.
Fed Chair Jerome Powell testifying today before a House committee, saying inflation is on the way down, but still not at the 2% target rate. Powell says the economic recovery may be slower than expected, but it has not led to a recession. Closing arguments underway in the involuntary manslaughter trial against Rust movie armorer Hannah Gutierrez-Reed for the death of the movie's cinematographer. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Vice President Kamala Harris returns to Wisconsin for the second time this year today. She's talking about jobs and the economy with Labor Secretary Julie Sue in Madison. The presidential campaigns are shifting their focus to battleground states after Super Tuesday. Opportunities for good-paying jobs exist in rural areas despite misconceptions. Georgetown University's Martin Vanderwerf says some industries are better suited for growth in the country.
If you're going to build a solar array or a wind farm, you got to do it in a rural area. And when that happens, what kinds of jobs are needed to support it? And all that sort of thing could really help rural areas.
A Georgetown study finds rural Americans had a 50% chance at a good-paying job compared to 54% in urban areas. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. A popular concert is set to return to Duluth's Bayfront Festival Park this year. Officials say the band Hairball is set to return to the venue in early July, paying homage to some of the most famous rock bands of all time. It's the band's 24th year performing across the country, featuring a variety of vocalists. The concert is scheduled to run from 4 p.m. to 10 p.m. on July 3rd, with general admission tickets and VIP area tickets available online. Tickets for the concert are set to go on sale at 10 a.m. on Friday. Duluth residents won't be seeing as many trees in the Kitchigami Park area soon. The city of Duluth is planning to remove some trees from the area, also known as Brighton Beach, in preparations for the construction of a road through the area this year. Thanks to the warmer than usual winter, construction crews will be able to get to work sooner than expected and minimize the environmental impact of the construction on birds and bats. The city will also be removing the invasive Scotch pine tree species from the area. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
Hi, I'm Maggie Dawn, host of The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays at 2 on the Civic Media Network.
And I'm Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media's Southeast Wisconsin News Bureau Chief.
Stuart and I will be hosting special coverage of President Biden's State of the Union speech Thursday night at 8.
We'll, of course, present what the president says, the Republican response, and also talk about what it all means for you.
This will be one of the most important speeches from the president in this critical election year.
This Thursday night at 8 across the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's senior night for Marquette. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The regular season winding down as number 8th-ranked Marquette hosts number 2-ranked UConn. In Milwaukee, the Golden Eagles played without their center, Osa Iguodaro, in their loss to Creighton. Head coach Shaka Smart.
He's feeling much better. Yeah, he had a really tough flu bug. You know, literally wasn't able to leave the hotel. But he's doing much better. He practiced yesterday.
NFL, the Packers did not use the franchise tag on any of their players. Talks continue with Aaron Jones and right guard John Runyon. Otherwise, several other players like A.J. Dillon, safety Darnell Savage, are headed for free agency. NBA, the Bucks have won 6 in a row now since the All-Star break.
You know, guys just talking, communicating, doing what the coach asked of us. We drill things and drill them and drill them, and it's been like muscle memory for us now to go out there and you can plug and play guys, and, you know, the thing, our system still looks the same no matter who's out there.
That's the Bucks' Bobby Portis with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Partly cloudy this afternoon, but still a pretty nice day with a high near 50. Wind will be out of the southeast at 5 to 15. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a little breezy down to 30. Tomorrow could catch a flurry or sprinkle in the morning. Otherwise, mostly cloudy with a high of 48. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 46.
Matt Nair on air.
Hovde, Eric Hovde now. He will be running against Tammy Baldwin.
He's not a Wisconsinite. He threw his hat in the ring from California. This is Tim Michaels all over again. Businessman who walks in and goes, well, I can take care of this. And Wisconsin says, no. Good to know you. Here's some Kringle. Go back home.
Is that how we politely blow people off now, is to take a Kringle and go away?
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Super Tuesday results on the Super Wednesday edition of the Devils have got Scott Ross joins. Hope you do as well. Tune in 4 to 6 across the Civic Media Network.
Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our outstanding producer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board and taking your phone calls. It is Wednesday, March 6, 2024. It is now 6 past the hour of 1 o'clock.
Hump day!
Look at that. Right back at it. The old camel back on the old hump. Glad to have you along here midweek, Mr. Zommers. Great first hour. Great to have Pat Kreitlow. And thanks again. I know his voice was a little under the weather. Appreciate him being on the show. Pat Kreitlow, Up North News, every morning here on Civic Media from 6 until 8. And, of course, Trigvi Olson always does a fine job. Great to have their insight, as always.
Excellent. Yes, always.
Yep, always great to have along. Great to have you along as well on Wednesday. Here's what I can tell you. I can report to you a little personal news. My back's been aching a little bit lately, and I thought, why is this? And this is true. I was going home last night, and normally I put my backpack. Here's the thing. People know me when I was in politics. I carry what I referred to as a satchel, and I would tell people, I can launch a campaign, a political campaign, within 20 minutes from this satchel. I had everything I needed. And now I tell people I carry a backpack most of the time. And I tell people I can launch a radio show in 20 minutes with everything in this backpack. It turns out it takes more equipment to launch a radio show than it does a political campaign. So my backpack has gotten heavier and heavier as we've kind of added equipment. So I usually put my backpack in the back seat of my Dodge Ram. And for whatever reason last night, probably because the back seat was full, I put the backpack on the passenger seat next to me. And I pulled out of the parking garage here in downtown Madison attached to Civic Media, and the seatbelt indicator went off, started going off. I'm like, I got my seatbelt on. It was because my backpack is so heavy, it thought there was an actual person in the passenger seat, and so it kept going off.
Todd, I think it's time to lighten your load. Share the load, Mr. Frodo.
So I went home, and I thought, I weighed myself, and then I'm not going to tell you what that was, and then I put the backpack on, and I can report to you my backpack is at 23 pounds is the amount of weight I'm carrying around.
I was expecting a much higher number, but that's still not good.
Yeah. So yeah, I need to organize some things and you carry that around every day, you know, your back can tend to hurt a little bit. So there's your personal Toddy news update for the day. We're going to talk a little bit about a couple of these other Republican yahoos. I have some clips for you. One from North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum he's being a little cagey. You know, I referred to him in the Republican primary as the potted plant of the primary because, you know, he didn't do much. And so he is speaking out about, you know, what he thinks about Mike Pence and what Pence, you know, going ahead and certifying the election on January 6th. And we're also going to hear from Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House of Representatives, as we prepare for tomorrow's State of the Union address with the president. And, of course, Republicans are getting ready to try to do something to pass a continuing resolution and to fund some of these projects. What Republicans and Mike Johnson have chosen to cut may surprise you. So we'll talk about that.
It shouldn't surprise you.
Well, it might. So some people may be surprised. I don't know. And of course, taking your phone calls as well. We debuted a new telephone number on the network here this week. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. C-I-V-I-C. There you go. Speaking of, Stephen from Green Bay is on the banana phone. Stephen, thanks for calling in. What say you?
Are you
in the checkout line? We don't want to interrupt you, Stephen. What's going on?
I'm actually delivering groceries for somebody.
Oh, well, God bless you.
So this is what I got to say. If I saw your Dodge Ram in Green Bay, I would also give you a ticket just because you're driving a Dodge Ram.
Wow! That's a little harsh. What do you drive? Are you a Chevy guy, a Ford guy? What?
I'm a Ford guy.
Oh,
yeah.
All right. Well, I'm sure you're taking something for that.
No. You know. Okay. Goodbye.
You know, that's what my old boss used to say, Dale Schultz, when he'd be campaigning and some, you know, very angry Democrat would be yelling at him and just swearing at him. And he'd just smile and stand there. And this one old woman once said, you know, and you know what? I'm a Democrat. And Dale looked at her and said, well, I'm sure you're taking something for it. And he moved on. I thought that's a great reply. All right. Anyway, Steve, did he really hang up?
I imagine he was actually, you know, like busy doing things. But yeah, that's very funny. Good timing.
All right. Well, you know what they say. If I can't take a joke. Anyway, glad to have you along here on hour number two of the show. 11 minutes past. People very salty today. There's something in the air. I'm not sure whether it's springtime or what. Anyway, so let's talk about this. North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum, and here's a guy who had no business, or as David Letterman likes to say, no business running in this anyway. North Dakota didn't really have a lot of accomplishments, had virtually no money, but yet he got in. And he mucked around a couple of times in these early debates, which Trump, of course, was not at. And he really did. Again, he was like a political potted plant. He didn't bring anything. Unlike Nikki Haley, unlike, you know, Chris Christie and others, Doug Burgum really didn't bring anything to the table.
I will say, my roommates and I were a little sad when he dropped out, because at those debates, it was very funny. Anytime somebody finally paid attention to Doug Burgum, you could just see his face light up and he'd smile. And it was so funny and so sad.
Right. Yeah. So here now is good old North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum was being interviewed and asked whether or not Mike Pence, who did not do Trump's bidding, who actually did the right thing and certified the 2020 election, which, of course, has been proven free and fair. And so they asked old Doug Burgum, hey, what do you think about this? Well, here you go. Here's the clip.
Someone who has been rumored to be on Donald Trump's shortlist for vice presidential options once he does, as he appears like he's on track to do, become the Republican nominee. Just yesterday he was talking about how he thought you would be great at that job if you took it. I'm just curious, if you were Trump's vice president on January 6th, would you have done what Mike Pence did?
Well, I think that all the speculation about who's going to be in the cabinet, who's going to be vice president, is just a distraction from what has to happen, which is the party's got to focus on Donald Trump winning in November. I mean, he's got to have so many people that want to serve in this administration that he's going to be able to pick the people of his choosing at the time that makes sense for him. And I think Republicans need to stay focused on that.
I understand that. But you are on the short list. You're a name that I hear from sources that they talk about. Do you think that Mike Pence did the right thing that day?
Well, I don't know if I'm on the short list or not, but I do know that what this election is going to be about, it's going to be about the things that matter to Americans. And when you've got our economy right now that's been juiced by the trillions of dollars of spending, I mean, the actual economic growth of the actual economy, of the goods economy, is flat. I mean, the reason why we're seeing economic growth is because of what the federal government is spending. And I think Americans are feeling it in what they're paying for their food, what they're paying for their for the price at the pump. And they know that this is not sustainable. And they see.
So there you go. Doug Burgum will not answer the question when asked directly by Caitlin Collins on CNN. This is a very simple question. Mike Pence resisted authoritarianism, resisted fascism, resisted being part of an attempted coup, and he followed the Constitution. And so the question is, do you think that was the right thing to do? The really short and correct answer is yes.
Well, if he says that, then Donald Trump will put out a hit on him.
A political hit, at least.
Right, yeah.
And this is where we're at, you folks, you guys. I tried to say you guys and folks at the same time. This is where we're at. And Mr. Sommers, if you can find it, let me know if you can, the clip of Trump saying what the Republican Party is today. 98 to 100, 96 to 100%, he says. We're going to keep that on a hot button because we're going to play this over and over. Because I want people to understand this is not Todd saying this. This is not Democrats saying this. This isn't MSNBC. Here is what Donald Trump himself, the now presumptive Republican nominee for president of the United States, says about his own party and followers.
And they say, always trying to demean, well, MAGA really represents 48% of the Republican Party. No, it represents 96% and maybe 100%. We're getting rid of the Romneys of the world. We want to get Romneys and those out.
96 to 100%, Trump says. So if you're somebody who voted for Nikki Haley, if you planned to vote for Nikki Haley in the Wisconsin presidential primary, Trump don't want you. He's saying, forget it. Adios. Has no interest in having Nikki Haley supporters, no interest in having Mitt Romney supporters. Former President Ronald Reagan back in the 80s used to call the GOP the Big Tent Party. Donald Trump has a small pole as far as political tents goes. He doesn't want to have a big party, doesn't want to have a big tent. It is the MAGA party, straight and simple, out of his mouth. What do you think? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. By the way, off the text line, Stephen from Green Bay has checked in. Turns out he's not salty at me. He said, just hard to hear. He's helping. Look at this. Stephen, God love him. He's helping somebody out buying groceries at Walmart. And he says, I had to take care of business there. So we'll have our truck debate another day. So I'm glad Stephen wasn't too offended.
Yeah. Yes.
But what offends me is the fact that a guy like Doug Burgum, here's a guy, and look, I mean, North Dakota is a fine state, got nothing against it. But here is a sitting governor, guy who's been governor, and he cannot even say yes that protecting democracy is the right thing to do. He cannot even say that what Pence did in certifying the 2020 election is the right thing to do. He wants to be vice president so bad, and by the way, he has zero chance, I think. Zero. But then again, maybe he does, because what Trump is going to be looking for this time around is not an ultra conservative, which Mike Pence is. Trump has no time for ultra conservatives. What he wants is someone who will pledge absolute allegiance to Trump. That is the only qualifier. You can be a political potted plant as long as you pledge allegiance to Trump. We'll come back on the other side, take your phone calls. Do not go anywhere. It's the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
White or wheat, classic or old-fashioned, with or without sesame seeds. With so many choices, selecting the right bun for perfectly grilled burgers, hot dogs, and brats can seem overwhelming. Baked right here in the Midwest, the Bakers at Village Hearth made your choice easy. As long as you see the familiar Village Hearth logo on the package, you know you're selecting the freshest, most flavorful buns available. Village Hearth Buns, baking our best for you.
Do you
owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 20 now past the hour of 1 o'clock on Wednesday, March 6th. Along with Mr. Zommers on the board, taking your phone calls. Glad to have you along. You can also text us on the Civic Media app. It is free. Takes less than a minute to download. Do it today on your Apple or Android device, the Civic Media app. Texting us from the Eagle up there, the beautiful Eagle station up there in La Crosse, Wisconsin, WLCX. Dana listening in La Crosse texts in this, says, quote, it just proves, and we were talking about, by the way, Doug Burgum, North Dakota governor, once a hot minute, a presidential candidate, when asked last night by Caitlin Collins on CNN whether Mike Pence did the right thing in endorsing or certifying the 2020 election results. Doug Burgum would not answer. Refused to answer that the right thing to do was the continuance of peaceful transfer of power in a legitimate election. Dana says this, quote, it just proves that the GOP is a party, as a party is over in this country, and they aren't even a legitimate party anymore. They have no positions other than revenge, unquote. Well, that's true, of course. Trump, in addition to saying that the Republican Party is now 96 to 100% MAGA, Trump has also said that he's going to be the quote-unquote vengeance for MAGA. So it is a party of revenge. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you on a Wednesday afternoon, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Let's go to Larry near Sun Prairie here in beautiful Dane County. Larry, thanks for calling in. What say you?
You said something in the, I caught the tail end of it. I was just leaving a food pantry where I was volunteering. But
well, thank you for doing that. That's fantastic. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, I do that a couple times a month. it's rewarding, I guess.
Absolutely.
And if people are hungry, by the way, people are hungry, and they, you know, prices are kind of up there. But anyway, I don't think that's related to the government's spending, what, $8 trillion during Trump's term. But you said something about Reagan that wanted the GOP to be the big tent, and that and how Trump differs from that, but. I think that's what was said. Anyway, that reminded me of an old saying that I learned. It says, you cannot be a sultan in your own tent. And if you think about that.
That's good.
You got to get out there and work for it. You can't just pick the losers and the idiots and Trump's base, basically.
Right. I get the point I was trying to make was, as somebody who came of age politically in the 80s and during Reagan, and as a former Republican, you know, and we could debate now 30, 40 years later how much of that was actually true, but at least Reagan stood in front of the podium and said the right words and said, you know what, we're the big tent party. We will, you don't have to believe or be with us 100% on every issue. We want to create a coalition of people that have diverse ideas. Again, we can debate whether or not that was sincere, whether that happened, but at least he stood up there and said it. At least he tried to some degree to make an appeal broadly versus Trump, who is flat out saying, you're either with us or against us, and you're either MAGA or you're not, and this party is 98 to 100% MAGA, and then goes on to specifically say, we don't want moderates. We don't want any sort of pragmatists or principled conservatives like Mitt Romney or Nikki Haley. We only want MAGA. And I think that's a stark contrast to what the Republican Party was in the 80s.
Yeah, you know, I grew up in grade school where we said the Pledge of Allegiance every morning.
Me too.
Of course, there were certain religious groups like the Jehovah's Witnesses. Kids didn't have to participate. That was fine. We understood that.
But, sure.
I've been hearing lately about all this, what Reagan was preaching, you know, God and your country and this and this and this. And what people don't understand, you know, in God we trust. The Pledge of Allegiance is one nation under God. That under God part was added by Eisenhower in 1954. That was never part of the Pledge of Allegiance. Mm. And the same with all this other stuff. Putting that on the money, you know, in God we trust.
But I think there's,
you know, you got to get this religion out of politics, and you got to get politics out of churches. That's right. Part of where the problem is.
Well, we've certainly on this, we've spoken on this program against Christian nationalism, certainly. But in my opinion, there's a difference between, like, in God we trust. That is just like a very benign higher power, basically. That's not declaring an official national religion. That's not, you know, saying that anybody has to believe. It's just that there's the. We as a nation believe in a higher power. That's very different than what Christian nationalists of MAGA are doing, which are using a specific Christian religion to say that should replace the Constitution as the law of the land. Would you agree?
So, yeah, I got off the subject a little bit there, but that's okay. I just can't be a sultan in your own tent.
Well, I think that's good. I think that's good. Thanks, Larry. Appreciate the call. Thanks for listening out there on Sun Prairie. Keep her between the lines. Thank you so much. Let's go quickly to Mark in the SAC. Mark, thanks for calling in. What say you?
Yeah, well, according to Stormy Daniels, that's not the only small poll that Donald Trump has.
I knew I could count on you, Mark. God love you.
But yeah, you know, and as a guy who grew up, I grew up in far northern Wisconsin. I mean, just 15 miles south of Superior, Wisconsin, off the big lake there.
Yeah.
And it just kind of, you know, so I'm, you know, northern born and bred, and you know, moved to the Southland here some 40 years ago. But I mean, it just is just sad to see what's going on. And with the God we trust, it reminds me of that, you know, a little bit of a new mysticist, you know, follower of coins that, you know, God we trust didn't even appear in any of the American coinage until after during the Civil War, and didn't appear regularly until, you know, the early 1900s when it first appeared on the penny. And we don't, there actually is not a real coin in America called the penny. It's actually the cent, and that penny is a vestige of, you know, our kinship to the English and English coinage, I guess. But I mean, Donald Trump, we just need to oppose Donald Trump.
But isn't it remarkable that you have a sitting governor in Doug Bergstrom who wants to have fallacies of being vice president and can't even simply say that Mike Pence did the right thing in certifying the 2020 election? I mean, that's ridiculous.
Well, it certainly is. I mean, these guys all took an oath to hold fidelity to their both the state and federal constitutions, if they're in state office, and the federal office, of course, is to the federal constitution. And, you know, and Donald Trump, you know, that actually coming out and saying that he didn't take an oath to support the Constitution.
Right.
Well, he took an oath to, that in other words, he took an oath to support the Constitution. But to use that little bit of sophistry to try to deflect from the fact that he violated his oath to the Constitution, pure and simple, as all did all the fake electors, and more information is coming to look, how far reaching and how far back that fake electors thing, you know, reached back into time and it all started here in Wisconsin.
We talked about that yesterday. I mean, all this fake electors stuff, the Petri dish, unfortunately, was right here in Wisconsin with good old Jim Troupas and Kenneth Chesbro and many others.
And let's remember Scott Walker. I think he started a lot of this with his divide and conquer philosophy.
Oh, absolutely.
And that I trace so much of it back to, you know, the decay in the being able to get along in our state house to Scott Walker. I mean, because Scott Walker, let's face it, he's a criminal from the get-go.
Mark, always appreciate the call. Up against the clock, going to come back and talk about Mike Johnson. Where is he making cuts in the federal budget? We'll have you listen in his own words. Stay with us at the Todd Allball Show on Civic Media. Your news, weather, and sports starts right now.
Listen to the Earl Ingram Show Thursday at 9 a.m. for the Pharmacy Hour with Dr. Omar Eliwa. I'm Earl Ingram.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The combined reward in the case of Elijah Vu is now up to $25,000. Manitowoc County Crime Stoppers is offering as much as $10,000, while the FBI is offering $15,000. The 3-year-old from Two Rivers has been missing for 2 weeks. His mother and her boyfriend are charged with child neglect. Nursing instructors are pushing back against efforts to set up a for-profit nursing school in Wisconsin. The Arizona College of Nursing is being sued in other states for alleged predatory practices. Barbara Nichols is with the Wisconsin Center for Nursing. She says students should seek out established accredited schools.
Those schools that provide theory in terms of online and then make sure they have good clinical placements.
Wisconsin is dealing with a shortage of registered nurses. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. More information on the January shooting at the Super 8 Hotel in Cloquet has been released. According to law enforcement officials, Nicholas Lennius had methamphetamine in his system when he shot two people at the hotel before shooting himself. After a thorough investigation, police found no connection between Lennius and the victims, 22-year-old Shelby Treadle and 35-year-old Patrick Roars. Officials say Lennius may have been experiencing a mental health crisis under the influence of the drugs. A Duluth food shelter is looking for community support to reach their lofty fundraising goals. Chum is participating in Minnesota Food Share Month and is hoping to raise $100,000 and 50,000 pounds of food in just 1 month. Officials from the nonprofit say food demand goes up in the summer when kids no longer have school meals to rely on, so they want to be as prepared for that as possible. The organization says for every dollar that is donated, they can buy $3 of food from their partners. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Civic Media's Rich LoCascio. Could you introduce me as a wrestler right now? You could call me like the Punching Bag or the Patsy or something.
From Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Punching Bag, Pete Schwabba.
Now I'd be looking across the ring at my opponent's eyes getting really wide as he got ready to wail on me.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
With a 60-second showbiz beat. If you can't get enough of the NCIS conglomerate, this will make you happy. Deadline.com reports that NCIS Origins, yes, it's a prequel, was given the straight-to-series green light. Austin Stowell will play a young Gibbs on the new CBS show. The more familiar Gibbs, Mark Harmon, will provide narration to the series, which will be set in 1991. Origins is one of the two new shows rolling out from the NCIS ever-growing franchise. Just guessing that this might have to be the last NCIS, because thanks to the military court franchise, we are running out of action. Up for some more Real TV Housewives? Me neither. That's not going to stop Bravo from rolling out season 2 of The Real TV Housewives, Dubai. For those of you who had no idea there was even a season 1, Bravo has announced season 2 will air in June of this year. The Real Housewives have had dozens of spinoffs locally and internationally. Personally, I refuse to watch until Wisconsin is represented. Who wouldn't want to watch The Real Housewives of Oconomowoc? For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, every night between 7 and 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Partly cloudy this afternoon, but still a pretty nice day with a high near 50. Wind will be out of the southeast at 5 to 15. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a little breezy down to 30. Tomorrow could catch a flurry or sprinkle in the morning. Otherwise, mostly cloudy with a high of 48. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 48.
Hi, I'm Maggie Dawn, host of The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays at 2 on the Civic Media Network.
And I'm Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media's Southeast Wisconsin News Bureau Chief.
Stuart and I will be hosting special coverage of President Biden's State of the Union speech Thursday night at 8.
We'll, of course, present what the president says, the Republican response, and also talk about what it all means for you.
This will be one of the most important speeches from the president in this critical election year.
This Thursday night at 8 across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Cause they're me and they're you, honest and true. This credit's been long overdue. I'm back in the blue.
Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show, the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 34 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock. What do you dial up there, Mrs. Amers?
Back the Blue by Coffee Anderson, I think is how you say
Coffee.
The name.
All right.
Because, you know, we're talking about how the GOP loves to back the blue and support law enforcement.
Yeah, see, my mind was thinking, like, politically or whatever. I was thinking, I obviously need more coffee. But yes, that's a great song. It's a great song for what we're going to talk about here next, because Mr. Summers is absolutely right. So let me preface it by, again, for those that might be tuning in for the first time on the show, welcome, first of all. I have relatives, family members who serve in law enforcement in Wisconsin who do a fantastic job and are some of the finest people that I know. I spent time as the chair of the Public Safety Commission when I was on the city council in Richland Center and worked hand in hand with our fine police chief and fire chief there. And I, if memory serves, never had a quarrel or declined any of their requests. So I'm a big believer in supporting the brave men and women who put on the uniform and serve. And like any other vocation, radio announcers, teachers, bakers, chefs, law enforcement also can have people that are bad actors. And any good law enforcement person will tell you that those bad actors should be tossed out, as they should in any other vocation. But we hear a lot politically from the MAGA folks in particular about, quote unquote, back the blue. We back the blue. As if though there's some big conspiracy from Democrats of, you know, getting rid of police. And again, let me acknowledge quickly that there is the far fringe left who says things like defund the police, which I absolutely disagree with. It's completely impractical, number one, and it just doesn't make any sense at all. So I am not a defund the police person at all. But neither do I feel that that represents a majority of mainstream Democrats, all right? But you see a lot of this back the blue all over, particularly in rural areas across the state of Wisconsin. And so I want to take a look now today at who's really, actually, literally helping to defund the police. The answer may surprise you. It is not anybody from the squad, the left liberals in Congress, not even Joe Biden. It comes from Republican House Speaker Mike Johnson, who is talking about cuts to federal agencies as they try to get through some funding for a national budget. The speaker this week went to the podium out in Washington and started talking about the cuts. We're not going to chop it up. We're not going to give you just part of it. We're going to give you exactly what Speaker of the House, Republican Mike Johnson, said about cuts to law enforcement.
We have advanced, and we also advanced, as you've seen the summary, cuts to some of the agencies that we believe are really overreaching and have been turned in some ways against the American people. We're going to cut 3% from DOJ, 7% from the ATF, 6% from the FBI, and 10% from the EPA. And that's just a start. We have a lot more priorities and things that we need to advance. But the reality is, as we all recognize, is that we have to grow the House majority, take back the Senate for the Republican Party, and win the White House. And I'm here to tell you the reason we're optimistic is we believe those things are going to happen in November. We can't wait. That day can't get here soon enough.
So there you go. Quote, we're going to cut 3%. You think, well, 3%? 3% of a federal budget for the Department of Justice. 7% from the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. Republican Speaker Mike Johnson wants to cut 6% from the Federal Bureau of Investigation and 10% from the Environmental Protection Agency. So 3% from DOJ, 7% from ATF, and 6% from the FBI. Literally, Department of Justice and FBI are the bureaus, the law enforcement officers that handle some of the most heinous crimes you can imagine in America. Oftentimes, when it's a heinous murder, a child abduction, a sex crime against children, beating up of women, the Department of Justice is brought in, or the FBI, to investigate these most heinous of crimes to support local law enforcement. And now Republicans openly saying that they want to cut it. 3% from Department of Justice, 7% from alcohol, tobacco, and firearms, and 6% from the Federal Bureau of Investigation. By the way, 10% from the Environmental Protection Agency, which you think, well, that's fine. If you're a Republican or a conservative, that's fine. But then you look at what the EPA actually does. Things like protecting our Great Lakes, Lake Superior, Lake Michigan. Does a lot more than you might think as someone who worked at the federal level. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. We'd love to have you give us your take on this. Also, text us on the Civic Media app. You can download it at your Android and Apple device. Takes less than a minute. It is free. Yes, it's a deal. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Let's go to the line. Stoughton and CJ in Stoughton. Thanks for calling, CJ. What say you?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call, Todd. If you look at what organizations, the police organizations that you speak of, they don't endorse Democrats. They endorse Republicans because the Republicans do support the blue. They believe when a conviction is, when someone is charged and convicted, they should be incarcerated, unlike the Democrats. And you're seeing it all over the country, evidence of that.
CJ, the Border Patrol Union just endorsed Joe Biden.
No, they did not.
Yes, they did.
No way. They didn't even meet with them. Are you kidding me, Todd?
I can look
that
it up.
Is simply untrue.
If it is, I'll say it is. But I'm pretty sure that one of the unions represent. No, part of the special forces did.
Not even close.
All right, I'll look it up.
The mere fact that the former Border Patrol chief said the Obama administration never even reached out with them or met with them. So the mere fact that you say that is really disappointing, because if that is what you believe, that is simply not the case, and it was shown, proved, it was proven just in their visits, both Biden and Trump. And the mere fact that the president has said for 2.5 years it's not a crisis, and now all of a sudden it is to him, is the reason why.
Oh, here it is.
Going to be a landslide.
Here it is. Not to interrupt you, CJ, but I want to correct myself, but correct both of us. I'm partially correct. The U.S. Border Patrol Union endorsed the immigration deal, the bipartisan immigration deal that's going through the Senate that Mike Johnson is in and Trump killed. So the U.S. Border Patrol Union endorsed that deal. That's what it was.
Okay, but now listen to who they're supporting, and it's not Joe Biden, and they've come out and said as much.
But why wouldn't the U.S. Border Patrol Union go ahead.
The Border Patrol officers are mad as hell at Joe Biden. They've caused this. He's caused this. So that's a quote from him.
But then why, when Republicans controlled Congress? Here's the thing. I try to have a discussion. You try to have a discussion. You understand? My question is. When Trump was president and Republicans controlled Congress, they could have done whatever they wanted to when it came to the border. They could have done whatever they wanted to. They had complete control, and yet they did not do it. And quite frankly, Democrats have had complete control over the years, and they failed to pass meaningful immigration reform. So again, this is a hot potato, right? This is just a hot potato that people get very anxious about. And they don't want to look at the actual facts. And the facts are that Trump and the Republicans could have fixed this all when they had complete control. Also, many of the immigration problems that we have today were happening under Trump and Republicans. Does Joe Biden have some blame in this? Sure, part of this has happened while he's been president. But there is a deal on the table, a bipartisan deal right now that can be put through the House of Representatives that the Border Patrol Union has endorsed, that Joe Biden is willing to sign. And the only reason it's not getting done is because Donald Trump killed it and he bragged about it. And Mike Johnson brags about it. They're very proud of killing this deal that, by the way, would be the most funding for the border and the Border Patrol Union we've seen in years. So when people say, you know, the Democrats don't, quote unquote, back the blue, it just simply isn't true.
And then they're saying, oh, we're blocking this bill because Joe Biden should just do it as an executive action to prove he wants it. He's like, well, I'll sign it if it goes through. If he just does it as an executive action, they'll say it's an overreach.
Right. Thank you for bringing that up. Now, that's the other thing. They said, well, you don't need legislation because you could just do it by executive action. And he's like, well, you know, I'd rather not be like Trump. I'd rather get through legislation that's not going to be changed from president to president.
Rather do things the right way.
Right. And then when Republicans in the House and Trump kill this bill, Biden says, okay, I guess I can use executive action. And then the Republicans say, wait a minute, that's overreach. They want it both ways, you understand? They want it both ways. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. We'd love to hear from you. You can also text us on the Civic Media app as well. Let's go to Dick. Dick in Madison, thanks for calling in. Dick, what say you?
I'm just wondering, Todd, if CJ's hero, the former president, is found guilty on any of these things, any of them, 91 out there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a good possibility. Will he be down with him, as he says, what should happen to you, being taken into custody, or will we just want to stall out and challenge whatever the rulings were nonstop?
Yeah,
as he probably could do with the money, well, that he supposedly has. Or would he be down with putting him where he belongs, in prison?
Right. The Trumpster is hard up for money right now, by the way. He can't pay the fines that he has to.
Yeah, that's what I understand. Right. He's already fleeced the pillow man for all he's got.
Right.
You know, one of these people is right to turn on him that he's taken, you know, totally to the poorhouse.
Right.
At what point do you get sick of that? But this drivel about paying the price when you do the crime. Well, I want to hear what he has to say when Trump goes down.
Thanks, Dick. Appreciate it. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Woodrow, listening in Madison. Woodrow, thanks for calling. We'll see you.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
So I just kind of had to comment on the whole back to blue thing to give you a little bit of context. I'm in my mid-30s. Most of my youth, I was very skeptical and, you know, untrustworthy of police officers. In retrospect, really for no good reason. But, you know, in terms of what political party backs the blue, I just have a couple of questions. On January 6th, what political party was there vandalizing our Capitol and beating the heck out of police officers, you know, to within an inch of their lives? First question. Second question, what political party, what leader of a political party wants to let these, you know, people who are in prison for beating up police officers, what political party wants to let them out of prison and, you know, let them go free? So
very good.
There's some questions for you. There you go. Woodrow, that's all I got. Thank you very much.
Hey, Woodrow, really appreciate your listenership and thanks for calling in. Two great questions. And the answer is, of course, the same. It's MAGA. It's MAGA, right? And we've talked about this before because you got MAGA Congress people like Do Nothing Derek Van Orten, who, by the way, will not vote for this bipartisan deal on the border, which also funds Ukraine, and they've accepted applications. But yes, it was MAGA folks who attacked the Capitol and killed police officers. And it's the MAGA presidential nominee, Donald Trump, who says these folks are hostages, these people who perpetrated this, these domestic terrorists. And Donald Trump wants to set them free and pardon them if he gets reelected. Back with more after this. It's the Todd Allbowles Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, I'm Pete Schwabe, an actor, writer, director, and comedian. Join me for my new show, Nightlight, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll chill after a long day in traffic, talking politics, or trying to look busy at work. We'll talk movies, TV, theater, music, and lots of fun Wisconsin stuff. So mix an old-fashioned and join the discussion. We'll go from Wisconsin to Hollywood and back, and you can still be in bed at a reasonable hour. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Buzz of the North, 910 a.m. WBZH.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matinaire on Air.
Welcome back to the Tom Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 10 before the hour of 2 o'clock. That's 10 minutes away from Maggie Dawn taking over these airwaves right here on Civic Media. Maggie Dawn Show every afternoon from 2 until 4 across the Civic Media Radio Network. Speaking of Ms. Dawn, she and Stuart Waddles, our news anchor down at WRJC in Racine, Kenosha, are anchoring our civic media coverage of the State of the Union Address, which will be coming up tomorrow evening. President Biden, as we said earlier, going to be giving the annual State of the Union Address. You say, well, Todd, it sounds like it's later than normal. What gives? And you're absolutely right about that. Speaking of House Speaker Mike Johnson, he decided to be small, which, of course, is not hard for him. He's a short man. But he decided to be small, and usually the vice president, the president, is invited in January or very early February to give the State of the Union Address in the House of Representatives. Johnson said, I'm going to be a jerk and move it off until March, thinking it will be inconsequential. Well, all Johnson did was teed it up for Joe Biden, because now that Super Tuesday is over and Donald Trump and Joe Biden are the presumptive nominees of their respective parties. Essentially, starting today, the general election has kicked off, particularly now with Nikki Haley suspending her campaign and dropping out on the Republican side, and Dean Phillips from Minnesota, who? That's right, Dean Phillips, suspending his campaign on the Democratic side. So now, whether people like it or not, and I think a lot of people not thrilled necessarily, it is going to be a rematch, Trump v. Biden. And so the general election kicks off today. And so now Mike Johnson has given Joe Biden a great opportunity to kick off the national campaign on national radio and national television tomorrow night. And Maggie Dawn and Stuart Waddles are going to be anchoring that coverage tomorrow right here on Civic Media. So encourage you to tune in. Should be a great broadcast and get their perspective on things as well. You can listen to it across the Civic Media Radio Network. I believe there's a sporting event, Mr. Zomers, on a couple of stations. So if your local station isn't carrying it because of sports, have no fear. Just go to your Civic Media app and check out one of the other fine stations, and you can find it there. The Civic Media app is the place to be. Also on Facebook and Twix, not Twitter, not X, but Twix as well. I want to update you now on something we talked a little bit about yesterday, and that is this alternate side parking here in the city of Madison.
Well, we have some updates.
We have some updates. People have voiced their concerns, their opinions. By and large, it's going well. I can tell you it's going well. And if you would like to, if you live in Madison and you want to join the petition, simply go to the Todd Allball Show on Facebook, on Twitter, on our site page as well. You can sign the petition. It's very easy. It's simple to do. And say, look, and here's the thing. What is it right now? It's like 50 degrees out right now in Madison, isn't it? Let's update you. Look at that. It's exactly 50 degrees. It's 50 degrees and sunny here in Madison. And so the thought is that let's do over the entire city of Madison what we do on the Isthmus, which is you only have to do alternate side parking when there's a snow emergency. So rather than people having to go out and move their cars back and forth all the time when it's 50 degrees out, let's wait until we actually are going to have a snowstorm, and then we do that. Because people are getting a lot of frivolous tickets for forgetting to park on the other side of the street when it's 50 degrees, which, you know, is an understandable thing. I mean, people are wearing shorts, they're wearing flip-flops, it's 50 degrees. Who thinks it's going to snow? I mean, nobody.
It physically cannot.
Thank you.
It would rain.
It would rain. So there's no need to be parking on the alternate side of the street. So we now here at the Town Hall Ball Show, amongst all the things that we could pick to do a petition over, have chosen alternate side parking. And so go to the Town Hall Ball Show on Facebook, on Twitter, sign the petition, and we're going to see if we can. We want to be the Anthony Blinken of Madison. We want to be the peacemakers here, and we want to say to Madison, look, Madison, you find people. It's a wonderful place to live and work and play. We want to help it be a little bit better by making alternate side parking only during snowy times. Because other municipalities do this. It's not unheard of. It's not uncommon. So we shall see.
Otherwise, if they have a good reason for it, that's great. We did ask, and hopefully we can hear back from them if there's a good reason for it.
We shall see. But, I mean, a day like today, I mean, my goodness. It's beautiful out, right? Like, and have we really given the groundhog enough credit?
See, I think that Jimmy over in Sun Prairie really ought to have come up with the other solution, because I think his prognostication being correct is going to cause some problems for our state.
Well, and our own Luke Mathers, of course, lives in Sun Prairie. I'm not giving anything away here. He's talked about this before. And maybe Lukester had a little bit of inside information from Jimmy the Groundhog over there.
Maybe he did. I don't know.
They may have been sharing a beer at a bar over there in Sun Prairie.
I don't know if Luke's a groundhog whisperer.
He has two beautiful dogs.
I wouldn't say either of them are particularly groundhog-like.
No, I'm just saying, but I think he has a thing with four-legged friends.
A connection with animals.
Yes, a connection. He has a great vibe about him. He's a peaceful person. Speaking of a peacemaker, and he has a great beard, which I think, you know, furry animals probably enjoy.
Probably.
I don't know. Much better than mine. Anyway, we'll follow up on this as the week continues here to see if we can get some more signatures on the old petition here to do away with alternate side parking here in the city of Madison. Also, before we go today, quick shout out. Today, March 6th, would have been my maternal grandmother, Marjorie E. Wallace's 103rd birthday.
Wow.
Yeah. Passed away a few years back in 2018, 96. And I shouted out only because she was a wonderful woman, a great woman, grew up on a farm in southwest Wisconsin. My maternal great-grandfather didn't believe that girls should have to get an education beyond eighth grade. And so she left home at 13 to finish high school and went on to be the first woman to serve as a dean of a University of Wisconsin System institution. She was the dean at UW-Richland for several years. And a trend, unlike me, she was truly a trendsetter and really broke the glass ceiling for higher education administration in the state of Wisconsin.
Yes, in a very, very positive way.
Yeah, absolutely. And told great jokes and just loved life and an alum of not only UW-Platteville, but also UW-Madison as well. Loved Bascom Hill. Loved being here in Madison and the university system. So a shout out to Grandma Wallace, wherever she's looking down on us today. And thanks for all you did. Thanks for our guests as well. Pat Kreitlow from Up North News Radio. Trigby Olson, senior advisor of the Lincoln Project. Mr. Zommers, for doing a great job on the board. And of course, all of you for listening and calling in. Stay tuned. Maggie Dawn is next. It's Todd Allball saying, whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe for, just like my grandmother, don't give up. Keep banging your drum.
From Birchwood to Poplar, this is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports.
Wednesday on Nightlight, I welcome UWGB's Jay Finnerty and Anya Esther. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe from 7 to 9 p.m. on Civic Media Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Maggie Dawn, host of The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays at 2 on the Civic Media Network.
And I'm Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media's Southeast Wisconsin News Bureau Chief.
Stuart and I will be hosting special coverage of President Biden's State of the Union speech Thursday night at 8.
We'll, of course, present what the president says, the Republican response, and also talk about what it all means for you.
This will be one of the most important speeches from the president in this critical election year.
This Thursday night at 8 across the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Presidential candidate Dean Phillips ending his bid for the nomination. He instead endorsing President